Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named best radio show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Another day of the Bill Michaels Show. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Just in yesterday and today for Bill. Cleaning up some details. Almost went Mike McCarthy there. I got some stuff to clean up.
I'll look at the tape.
Positive. We'll see Bill back tomorrow, and he, of course, will get us ready for the weekend of Packers football in Washington, D.C.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, coach, that's what I'm talking about. By the way, just a kind of sidebar for a quick second. Usually we get the schedule for what's happening with the Packers the day before. The schedule that starts on Wednesday, we get Tuesday. There wasn't an email Tuesday. It didn't come out until this morning. And it looks like there's a little bit of a change, at least in terms of what's open to the media today. There's no practice. At least not that the media's privy to see.
Yeah, according to Michael Cohen, he says that the Packers are having walkthroughs today instead of a traditional practice. Lighter workload as players recover from an overtime game in 80-plus degree temperatures.
Yeah. I'm telling you, for those who are going to play the hard line, get out there and work. I don't know, because those would be the same people who'd be upset if you lost six people in Washington this weekend. So I think I'm on board with it. If he wants to make it a lighter Wednesday and hit it heavier later in the week, that's no problem at all. Coach will be speaking up in Green Bay later this hour, and I'm sure we'll listen into what he has to say at some point. We have a big, big day, but especially, Joe, a big hour in this hour. Tom Verducci, MLB Network Insider from Sports Illustrated, will join us. Mike Tenier, the NFL lead writer for Bleacher Report, will be here. I mean, you just stacked this thing up, man. This is you putting all your big hitters up front.
And then an hour from now, Brian Anderson.
it's like Kane, Yelich, Aguilar.
Aguilar.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yep.
Right off
That's
the bat.
That's how we want to do it on this show.
I like it.
Whether you're here, or Bill's here, or Tim's here, or if I'm hosting, whatever.
That's great.
That's how we do it.
So bottom line is, if you were planning to just be here for a minute and then go away, don't, because there's going to be a lot happening here in these first couple of hours of the show. The Reds and Brewers wrap up their series at Miller Park today. That was a 3-1 Reds win last night. Two batters in, Jose Peraza homers off of Chase Anderson. And we mentioned yesterday here on the show that Chase has had some issues with the long ball. He has been among the league leaders in home runs allowed this year, and it bit him right off the top. Now, Anderson recovered and pitched pretty well for the rest of the outing. I mean, he kept the Reds off the board for the most part, but it was only 3 2/3 innings with those three earned runs allowed, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, and that gets the pitch count up. And as you know, Joe, and as you've seen from Chase's previous appearance in Chicago, Craig Counsell is not afraid to hit that bullpen early when Chase is pitching. He lifted him after 4 scoreless in Chicago, but it was 4 scoreless with an asterisk. There were some hard hit balls off of Chase in Chicago, and then the same thing here early in this game against the Reds last night. So again, Jose Peraza hits that 2-run homer. The Brewers come up with just a single run, and the consistency on offense for the Brewers team has been a little bit of an issue in these last few series. This is not the kind of game that inspires angst in me. This is not the kind of game that makes me start to question anything about the postseason or anything about, whether the Brewers are going to fall apart. I don't think that's coming. I really don't. In baseball, there's a third of the games you will lose and a third of the games you will win, even the best teams. And then what you do with that middle third is what makes the difference between making the playoffs or not. And this just fell into that third of games. The Brewers just couldn't get anything together against Michael Lorenzen. So there was one run in this game, and that was Jonathan Schoop, the RBI base hit in the bottom of the second. So one run. They scored 8 the night before. I wish there was a way to bottle 3 or 4 runs. You know, if you could have taken 3 off a Monday and just unleashed them Tuesday.
How would you feel if Major League Baseball decided, we're just going to carry over last night's results into today's game? So if the Brewers, you know, well, the Brewers won 8-0, you just carry that over into last night's game, and now it's 8-4.
So it's cricket is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do with cricket.
Oh, is that what they do in cricket?
Yeah,
I don't understand cricket. I've tried to watch cricket. I don't get it.
Cricket is a single match played over, like test cricket's played over like 3 or 4 days. So if you're done with the first day, you're only done with the first third of the game, of the match.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's, and it's fun, don't get me wrong, but yeah, it's a little weird. You know, the 8-0 thing was a glorious moment for the Brewers, and Yelich hit for that cycle Monday night, and fans felt good, and then, you know, he probably took a little bit of a hit last night, but again, Brewers lost, Cubs won. That, to me, from a greater picture standpoint, is kind of where my focus is right now. It isn't so much about only scoring 1 last night. I think it's just as likely they could score 8 tonight.
But the problem is both Travis Shaw and Lorenzo Cain have injuries.
Yes, and they both left the game with those injuries. Those were mid-game injuries. It sounds like Lorenzo Cain's was a case of player really, really wanted to play, and manager was like, look, we need you for the last 10 and what's after. So don't go anywhere, you know, just hang tight. Sit on the bench here. We'll get you a couple of at-bats for other guys, and then we'll get him back in there. So we'll see if that amounts to an off day today for Kane. Remember, the Brewers have an off day tomorrow. And then the final road trip of the 2018 season, at Pittsburgh for 3, at St. Louis for 3. The only thing this did last night for me, Brewers lost, Cubs win, was to delay the whole wild card thing. I thought the clincher date might be early next week. Now I think it may be more like the middle of next week. The one concern that comes out of last night is, again, Cubs won again, right? Underline, underline, underline. Cubs won again. So you're at 3.5 behind the Cubs, and you're dealing with a Cubs team that is becoming increasingly hot once again. They're finding a hot streak. Right now, if the Cubs hit a cold streak and the Brewers hit a hot streak, it's going to have to be pretty significant. I'm not calling it over. 3.5 with 10 to play is mathematically very, very doable. And the Brewers, when they get hot, are capable of those hot runs. But I think now you need more than just a Brewers hot run. You need a little bit of a cold spurt from the Cubs. And that can happen.
Well, the good news is, too, we're looking at the wild card here, it looks like it's coming down to a 3-man race for 2 spots. Brewers up 2 games over the Cardinals, and then the Cardinals have a 1.5-game lead over the Colorado Rockies. The Rockies lost last night to the Dodgers. And then Arizona, who's getting beat up by the Cubs, they're falling out. The Phillies are falling out. Both of those teams are now 6 games out of that final wild card spot. So it looks like it's going to be down to those 3 teams. And Brewers, Cardinals, Rockies.
And the fact that the Dodgers won again in extra innings over the Rockies last night puts the Dodgers in first by 1.5 over the Rockies. That's a tight race still, but it's starting to look like there's some separation, especially if LA wins today. And I'm telling you, the more that happens, the more simplified this thing gets. The Rockies lost last night. So yes, the Brewers lost, but they actually shaved a number off the magic number.
Correct.
Against the Rockies. They're down to 8. And as those other teams that you have to fight with go by the wayside, the Phillies drop off and the Diamondbacks drop off, what you're starting to see is there will be a West winner. Let's just assume it's LA, just for the sake of simplicity. As you say, it's Brewers, Cardinals, Rockies for 2 spots. So mathematics is starting to tell you that the Brewers are becoming increasingly safe in that wild card, but a little more distance now when it comes to the NL Central. And it's, again, I would love nothing more than to see about 7 in a row here from the Brewers, and then that last weekend of the regular season be meaningful, because the Brewers host the Tigers, who are just a hot mess. I mean, you don't say that about a baseball team usually, but it's been a bad year. in Detroit.
They have 90 losses now.
Yeah.
Detroit's 61-90.
They're on their second announcing crew, second TV announcing crew. Their first one got suspended in a fight.
So are those guys done for the year?
Done for the year.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Rod Allen and Mario Impemba, done for the year. So that tells you it's been a hard year, long year in Detroit. That's the team that comes to Miller Park for the last three. And in the same last three, those same 3 days, Cardinals, Cubs at Wrigley. So that'll be a lot tougher, I think, on the Cubs than it will be on the Brewers. That's baseball, and that might not mean a whole lot. But if you are the Brewers, that's the matchup you want. If you're within a game of the Cubs and you get to that final weekend, I'm real excited then. Every pitch means something to me. If you're out two, you might still end up in a tie. Obviously, any more than that, and you write it off. But and again, I'm not. Don't use the words "done club," please. Not there yet. But 3.5 with 10 to play. The math is starting to separate. It's starting to look. The wild card's starting to look really, really likely, and the division title is looking less likely. But you got one more game in this series tonight. Brewers fans, get out there and support your team tonight. Final game of this set against the very pesky Reds. They've been tough on a lot of people. And there's a fun storyline going on tonight, Joe. And that is Matt Harvey, who we thought would be a Brewer two different times this year, is instead going against the Brew Crew and Gio Gonzalez.
You don't have any... in hindsight, you're not looking back and saying, boy, I wish the Brewers would have had Matt Harvey.
No, not really. No. Here's the thing, and I want to get into this with Tom Verducci in the next segment, and then Brian Anderson some in the next hour, but David Stern's approach to pitching has turned out really well for this Brewers team in two ways. He's found good pitchers, and he has saved a lot of money. He has kept this franchise from being hamstrung by some bad contracts. So we will talk some more baseball with Tom Verducci, the MLB Network insider. By the way, Joe, the hot stick of the game, why don't we give that to Jonathan Scope? Since he's the guy that produced the one run last night. Can we do that?
Yeah, that's fine. They didn't really have many hits in this game.
Somebody did something, and that someone was Jonathan Scope. So that is your hot stick of the game. We are back with Tom Verducci, MLB Network insider, Sports Illustrated, next on The Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light. Out and about again this year, the Bill Michaels Huddle is back. And look for us at a pub near you sometime soon. We hope to see you as a face in the crowd. That's Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee, stepping in for Bill for one more day. He is back tomorrow. Talking a lot of Brewers. 3.5 behind the Cubs, but still with that lead in the wild card race. The magic number down to 8 over the Colorado Rockies. Nothing wrong with that as this thing approaches the final 10 games of the regular season. Brewers Reds tonight. By the way, Jonathan Scope, who produced the lone Brewers run last night, is your hot stick of the game, the Clements hot stick of the game. Every week throughout the season, you can enter to win a year's supply of Clements sausage snack sticks. Just go to BillMichaelsSports.com. For busy people who care about the food they eat and share, Clements sausage sticks are the convenient high-protein choice that fits on-the-go lifestyles. Because unlike big brands, our product is real hardwood smoked sausage and is handcrafted using authentic European recipes and premium ingredients, so they are not just easy to eat, they're easy to love. And I tell you, every time I read that, Joe, it's like, I feel like it's Pavlovian. You should have like a stack of Clement sausage sticks in front of me, just boom, 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 boom. You read that? Eat three of these. Because that sounds great. So we've been talking Brewers again, and taking on the Reds tonight in that final game of the series. We'll go back to this matchup here. Matt Harvey going up against Gio Gonzalez. And it's the guy the Brewers got versus the guy the Brewers didn't get, which I think is pretty interesting. And it brings you back to an approach on the part of David Stearns. And this goes back to last offseason. Stearns and his approach to pitching. There were big moments in this last offseason. The Brewers got Lorenzo Cain as a free agent. They made a trade for Christian Yelich. And man, has that turned out to be fantastic. But what they didn't do, and what concerned a lot of people, and I'll put myself in this group, what concerned a lot of people was the lack of action on a pitching standpoint. Yoli Chacin was the acquisition for the starting rotation. There were a lot of big names and a lot of big numbers thrown around from Jake Arrieta and Alex Cobb, Yu Darvish. And then Yu Darvish goes to the Cubs and everybody just, you know, feels like a punch to the gut, right? And have you seen what these three have done? Or maybe more appropriately, have not done? Can you imagine the contract you would have given from this small market team, the Brewers, to Yu Darvish to not be around right now? To have dealt with injuries throughout? What about Alex Cobb, who is just scuffled? He's rebounded a bit here in the last couple of months, but man, has it been a tough year for Alex Cobb in Baltimore. And then Lance Lynn signed with the Twins, and then remember, he was reportedly available in trade talks. So that was, what, 3 or 4 months, and Minnesota didn't go anywhere. So Lynn was available. So, again, I say, Darvish, Arrieta, Cobb feel like missed bullets more than anything else.
Well, between two teams for Lance Lynn, a 4.90 ERA.
That would be the guy you would have paid. What's he getting paid? It's more than $15 million, right? More than $15 a year, or is it?
I think that sounds about right.
About right?
Yeah.
And that's, again, for this pitcher that's giving you a 4.90 ERA. On the other hand, Yoli Chacin looks like an incredible bargain. And maybe the biggest bargain of all is Wade Miley, who now that he's healthy and performing for this team, has been absolutely incredible. So when you go name versus name in rotations around the league, the Brewers don't have what the Dodgers have. They don't have a Clayton Kershaw, but what they have is this group of pitchers that is not costing the Brewers a ton of money, but still producing some results for the team. That money instead and the focus goes to the bullpen, and it's gone pretty well. Tom Verducci, MLB Network insider, Sports Illustrated, joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Tom, man, first of all, thanks for joining us. I know this has got to be a crazy time for you as we approach the postseason. You're working like 37-hour days, is that right?
Yeah, and October actually gets even crazier, but it's a great time of year, man. I love baseball anyway, but especially now, because now you can't say the season is a marathon, right? We're in full sprint mode right now, and I love that. You know, teams' fortunes go up and down literally day by day.
It's a lot of fun to see here in Milwaukee a team that was close to the playoffs last year get back into the hunt and really put themselves in a very good position. And as you know, David Stearns is a popular guy in Milwaukee. And what he's done with pitching is what we were talking about just before we came to you here, has been incredibly effective in that he saved money on the big names but still found production. Pretty impressive, right?
No, I agree with that, and especially when it comes to the bullpen, because as we know, baseball has become such a bullpen game that the old way of building teams was, you know, let's build a team that can throw 1,000 innings out of the starting rotation, and let's, you know, have a bunch of 200-inning guys. That's not really the way the game works anymore. It still may be preferred, but there's just not enough of those guys out there, and I do think that especially when you have limited resources, the way you can get better, to me, there's always been two ways without spending a lot of money. Number one is defense, and Milwaukee's a really good defensive team. And number two is bullpen. And I think not just the people they have, but the way that Craig Counsell deploys them. I think he does a really good job. I think he's done a great job balancing the fact that he's very aggressive, but at the same time, not to the point where he has overworked guys.
It's an interesting race between the leagues, too, because on the American League side, it's been decided for a while, and they're more almost in coast mode, most of the teams that are making the postseason there. Where in the National League, Rockies and Dodgers in September, a 10-inning game last night is something that turns the fortunes of a division. It's been a lot of fun to see the National League, at least, you know, for fans in NL cities, get the attention here in September.
Yeah, I agree, and really there's nothing like it. Sports. We'd be talking about a great pennant race down September with multiple teams involved, West Coast games, early games. I mean, the scoreboard watching, it's really a ton of fun. But unfortunately, as you said, the American League, I mean, there have not been any races there really the entire month of September. It's disappointing for me. It's disappointing that a team like Arizona has slipped out of this race pretty much. I thought we were going to have a wild finish with multiple teams. We still may in the National League, especially when it comes to the wild cards. But, yeah, I think if I look at the postseason, to me, the American League is more interesting because you have the, you know, super teams there with the Astros, the Red Sox, the Yankees, throw the Indians in there. The National League is more competitive, but you don't really have those super teams that you're looking at. So I'll take the National League pennant race. I'll take the American League postseason matchups.
And it's going to be incredible to see the, you know, the possibility of Red Sox, Yankees. I mean, that's big stuff. And speaking of that, you're going to be part of MLB Network's broadcast of Red Sox, Yankees tomorrow at 6 o'clock. You can also, of course, read your work at sportsillustrated.com. And you're about to have a debut call of a film called 14 Back. This is a documentary chronicling the 78 AL East division race. This is, if you ever hear Bucky Dent, you might hear an extra word in there somewhere. Yankees and Red Sox, what a classic race.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It may be the best pennant race of all time. I know there's a lot out there, but it's coming from 14 back, not only to win that 163rd game, but then to go on and win the World Series. So, yeah, SITV, I was at the screening Monday night, the debut of the film. It's a two-hour documentary. It's just awesome. There's about a dozen of the former players who were there. Their recall of the game, of the 163rd game, it's just amazing. You're going to see and hear a lot of things that you didn't know before. And as a compliment to it, I wrote a cover story in the magazine for this week about what it was like, the relationship between the press and the Yankees. Remember, that was back in the Billy, George, Reggie days, and the New York newspapers actually went on strike late in the season, and the Yankees said the break without the tabloids the last 2 months of the season helped them come back on the Red Sox that year. So to me, it was the Yankees were the greatest gift to newsprint back in the day when newspapers ruled the day. We don't have teams or characters, and certainly not the sway of newspapers like we had back then. So it's almost like a real nostalgic piece to look back on 40 years ago and all the circumstances surrounding that great race.
Excited to see the debut of 14 back, and that'll be tomorrow. Of course, that was a time before three divisions, before wild cards, and before MLB was tweaking and getting more teams into the playoff chase. So this thought occurred to me, and it's a little we get some wild theories in here, Tom, so I'm going to run one of these by you. What do you think of this concept of, I'm looking at the standings, where the Brewers have 86 wins, which is more than either of the division leaders that are not in the Central, and the Yankees have 92 wins, which is more than Cleveland and just a little bit behind Houston. Do you think there would ever come a day where MLB could put some sort of guideline in place where that wild card game might flip and the first wild card team might switch places with a division winner that has a worse record?
You know, it's interesting. I think someday if Major League Baseball does expand, we get to 16-team leagues. You may just go to straight seeding in terms of the postseason. There's some talk now about, hey, if not switching places for that wild card spot, after the wild card game is done, you should seed the teams. As you mentioned, the Yankees, maybe win 100 games, will be playing the Red Sox, the teams with two best records possibly in the American League. Maybe you just seed 1 through 4, regardless of division winners or wild cards. So, listen, the Indians have just had, they've been on cruise control the entire season for the most part. And, you know, they'll wind up, hosting a series, division series, and the Yankees will have to play on the road in the wild card to start out division series. So it's interesting to me that maybe that's something baseball ought to take a look at. Is I do think there's still a premium for winning your division. I would not have a division winner play in a wild card game, but I would think about reseeding them as far as who plays who in the division series.
Tom Verducci, MLB Network Insider, Sports Illustrated. It will be nice to get a perspective outside of the states of Wisconsin and Illinois on this next question, because there's a lot coming from Wisconsin and a lot coming from Illinois on the MVP race, Yelich, Baez. There are other people, of course, you can mention in there, but these are the two that are brought up most here. What do you think of Christian Yelich as an MVP candidate?
Well, he's my pick. And I wrote something for the magazine this week for the major award winners, and I looked at everything that I could, and obviously we still have a little bit of the season left. But what stands out to me is his consistency, the fact that he's had a huge second half. Once all year, he's gone more than one game without getting on base. And looking at all of his clutch numbers, that's what really did it for me. When you look at his numbers in close and late situations with runners on base, runners in scoring position, hitting, relief pitching, Yelich is a real standout. He was well over 300 in all those situations. So for me, especially the difference in the on-base percentage over Javi Baez, I would give Yelich the MVP. It's a really close vote. I mean, guys like Paul Goldschmidt and Matt Carpenter are still involved in this, and there's probably a few more as well. It's a fascinating vote for me because I don't think there's one standout candidate, but I do think, given my choice, I would go with Yelich.
Radio Joe, you got to package that up and send it down to Chicago, baby. He's working on that right now. He's going to send that down to our friends in Illinois. That's Tom Verducci, MLB Network Insider, Sports Illustrated, and a yes vote for Christian Yelich for MVP. Tom, appreciate the insights. Can't wait to see you, Red Sox Yankees, tomorrow, 6 o'clock, MLB Network.
You got it. Thanks. Have a good one.
That is Tom Verducci joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard, you work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. I thought the reseeding thought is interesting because that will, at some point, eliminate... It won't eliminate rivalries. I think if people think that that's the case, that won't happen. But it will take away some of the direct pressure. Like the Brewers right now are in two races, and one is in that wild card race, and the other is chasing the team with the best record in the National League, who happens to be in their division. And if an MVP is decided because the Brewers are a wild card team and they don't win their own division, see where that could be an issue? But if you were to say Christian Yelich for the second seeded Milwaukee Brewers, as opposed to the wild card Milwaukee Brewers, you see where that's a difference.
Right, they have the second best record in the National League right now behind the Cubs. So if let's say this all holds up here and we get in and the Brewers win the wild card, they're going to have to play the Cubs, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be Brewers and Cubs when you've got the two best records in the National League duking it out, when really, I agree with Verducci, it should be reseeded. And I wouldn't even be opposed to possibly having the division winner go up against the second wildcard team if the other wildcard team's record is far better than the division winner.
Well, he said he wasn't in favor of having a division winner play in a wildcard game, but my thought was like, if you had one of these 82 and 80 division winners, you know, for a while I had a personal rule, which was if you're under 500, you just don't make the playoffs. You just don't make it. That's not how that works.
Well, the reseeding, I think, is a really good idea. If the 100 win team in the Yankees takes care of the wild card, they should get in and they should be the two seed. They shouldn't have to take on the Red Sox in the first round. I think that's kind of dumb, and I think it's probably going to happen. And you watch. MLB will try and change it because they have Yankees and Red Sox going at it when really they should probably be going at it in the ALCS.
Yeah, that's an ALCS type of matchup. No offense to Houston, who's a tremendous team.
Right.
But can you imagine Red Sox, Yankees in the ALCS? Could you also imagine this? Atlanta versus, let's say, St. Louis in the wild card game, and the winner goes to Chicago, and the Dodgers face the Brewers in the division series. That's what a reseeding would look like. If you give the edge to the Dodgers, they have the same record as St. Louis, but you give them the edge for winning the West, and that matchup is completely different. Brewers skipped the wild card game with the second best record in the National League. Switching gears, Mike Tenier, NFL lead writer for Bleacher Report, next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, keeping this chair warm for another day. Bill is back tomorrow. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is. If it's a day that ends in Y, we are talking Green Bay Packers. 1-0-1. And yeah, that has a little off-note ring to it. But they could be 2-0-1 if things go well in Washington, D.C. this weekend. Let's bring in Mike Tenier, NFL lead writer for Bleacher Report. Mike, great time of year, week three. This is, and I was just telling Tom Verducci in the last segment, this is no sleep time for you. It is all work for you, right?
All work and no play. And you know what? It's better to be 1-0-1 than to be
1-1, and hopefully you don't go 1-0-2 next week with a tie against Washington.
Too many ties, man. I haven't processed this very well. It's better than a loss, but we were joking about this. I've been filling in for Bill the last couple of days, and we've had both callers and guests use the term that loss or the way they lost that game. It's weird how the fan will check down to a loss.
They will, and especially when you had the lead in the game and there was a comeback, and there was a comeback with some extenuating circumstances and all that. So it feels like a loss. I think if you come back from 21 points down and kind of fight to it, some people go into hockey mode and they think, oh, you skated to a tie on the road. That was kind of an accomplishment. But yeah, in this case, it probably feels like a loss, and it may feel like a loss come playoff time when you have these two teams with ties. And you're looking at, you know, records like 10-4-1, and you're worried about like teams that are 10-5-1, and you're worried about 11-5 team leapfrogging over either the Packers or the Vikings and the Patriots in the playoffs.
The other part of it too is that there were other circumstances, and this is not a blaming of officials, but there were events that came out of this game, and the Clay Matthews hit right in the center of them, that have drawn this attention to the way the rules are interpreted this year. Now, we know the NFL is using this play, this Clay Matthews hit that was called as a penalty, as an example of what not to do. How you feel about that?
It's disastrous. It's going to be disastrous. It's going to result in referees who know better trying to use this as an exemplar and weaving all over the road and making crazy decisions and calling routine sacks penalties. And we're going to see it, and it's going to impact more games and more high-profile games. And this is unfortunately the NFL's vintage mistake. The NFL never admits a mistake. It doubles down on its mistakes. And you can go through the history of everything in the NFL, from controversial issues to penalty-type issues to things like that. They never just admit it and say, look, that happened and we'll move on. And that's what you're going to see. You're going to see more penalties like this, and it's going to have defenders wondering what to do. And the big outcome, in addition to lost games, is some defender, some guy's going to say, look, if I can't even hit him with my shoulder in the midsection, then I might as well just go for the knee or go for the head. If everything's a penalty, I might as well just knock his butt out. You know, in the heat and the sweat of a game, they might start to think that way. And that's the worst. And that's the most unsafe situation of all.
And I imagine, too, that coaching staffs at this point, more than they have before, will have scouting reports on the officials as much as they will on the other team, right?
You think they would, but when they do this thing where they say, oh, this is now our centerpiece decision, it takes weeks to even get those scouting reports on the officials. So you might get those, and you might get things like, oh, these guys might call this, these guys might call that. The thing is, all during the offseason, the helmet rule was the thing we were talking about. And, of course, the NFL just made the helmet rule go away. They didn't change it or anything. They just stopped calling it. And you know, coaches told me over and over again, it's like you kind of have to prepare for these things. Yeah, let guys know. You gotta let guys know during practice what they can and can't do. You can reinforce it. There's no time right now to reinforce this new thing where just about any place you hit a quarterback is going to get you a penalty. It's going to leave coaches and players just not sure what to do. And again, when you're not sure what to do, you might revert back to things that you used to do in the past that the NFL doesn't want you to do anymore.
Mike Tenier, NFL lead writer from Bleacher Report, joining us talking about the NFL rules and talking a little Green Bay Packers as well. Aaron Jones comes back for the Pack to face Washington. I mean, we're all marveling at what Aaron Rodgers is doing, but there is no doubt that he is not 100%. How important is an Aaron Jones to an Aaron Rodgers?
You need to get some semblance of balance going. And I'm guessing that's a broken record story out there in Wisconsin, that the running game, you know, is never where you want it to be. And it clearly has not been where you wanted it to be through the first two games there, you know, with Williams 3.4, I think it is, yards per clip. So you need to get more guys out there. I think you need to see a little more creativity as well. I think that's been a broken record for a couple of years. But this is another stout front seven. You face a very stout front seven in Minnesota, one of the best in the NFL, and it did pretty well against that. And then in the opener, you faced a pretty tough front seven with the Chicago Bears, and did well, particularly in the second half against that. You've got to keep doing it, and you can't keep doing it, expecting Aaron Rodgers, who's hobbling, to just continue to do it with smoke and mirrors and getting help from block punts and some other things like that. You need a little bit of balance. Slow that pass rush down, and that's going to come from getting Jones back and getting a running game that's a little bit more multidimensional.
To me, too, there are two amazingly consistent things that are going on. Rodgers, no matter his condition, coming through for the Packers. But on the other end of those throws, Davante Adams, who has been a touchdown machine, and for those who have waited for him to drop off, that drop-off is not happening. In your rankings of receivers, is Adams a top 10? Is he a top 5? Is that too much to ask?
I think the top 5 is kind of occupied. I don't have my list in front of me right now, but if you take your Antonio Browns and DeAndre Hopkinses and put them all together, you're going to get past 5. Then there's another tier, and there's a tier with a lot of very good ball players on it. I think Davante Adams is firmly on that tier with guys that most teams would have as their number one receiver, probably on that tier with guys like Keenan Allen and Doug Baldwin and guys like that. So that's where your premier number one receivers are. He really has elevated to that level, and he's not being asked to do it alone. I know in the past, you know, injuries have caught up to them, but, you know, Cobb is playing well, Allison's playing well, obviously got Graham now. So from a receiving standpoint, this is almost where you were years back when you had that killer team, when you had that Donald Driver, Jones, Nelson, JerMichael, all those guys there. I don't think you're there yet, but you can be close to it. But, boy, again, wouldn't it be better to have all that and say we can rely even more on our running game to be a little bit more consistent and take the pressure off those guys?
So, Mike, my big question when I talk to someone like you who has to, you know, you're writing about the entire league. We focus on a team. You focus on all of the teams. Your Sunday, is it a room with 12 TV monitors? Like, how does it work?
It's a room because I have to write these Monday morning digests, which you can find on the BR app. You download the BR app and you can find me there. And that's a wrap-up of everything that happened. So it's a room with 12 TVs. Now, of course, that room also has other people in it a lot of times. It's a long bar and there are beverages and chicken wings. Sometimes it's a sad environment. Sometimes it's if you go to the press box of the games, you will find a room with a bunch of TVs with a bunch of guys sitting at it. But that's it. A lot of note-taking, a lot of bouncing around. Good thing about talking about the Packers is you're almost always tuned into their game in some level as one of the two or three you're really focusing on because you can't watch 8 games at once. So I can come on and talk about Green Bay. Yeah, I know everything happened in Green Bay, Minnesota because you're focused on that. It might be a little different if someone's calling and asking about, you know, the Arizona Cardinals-Tennessee Titans game and you realize that was the one that you were looking at every 20 minutes instead of every single play.
It'll be a busy Sunday. I know you'll be looking forward to it. Mike Tenier, thank you very much for joining us. Great insights. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Take care and enjoy the rest of your week.
Mike Tenier, NFL lead writer for Bleacher Report on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. I mean, picture that. It's Sunday, and then the first batch of games, the noon batch of games, there's 10 games, and you got to be clued into all 10. Like, it's not one. It's all of them. That's not easy. But Mike Tenier makes it look easy, and as he mentioned, you can catch his reports there at Bleacher Report. Some terrific work there from Mike Tenier. We are back in just a moment here on The Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Craving Wisconsin? Then get to your local Cousin Subs today and try the Wisconsin steak and brat or the Wisconsin brat and bacon on pretzel bread. Both are made hot off the grill, and they feature Wisconsin's own Johnsonville brats and slices of cheddar cheese made right here in the Dairy State as well. It's a match made in sub heaven. So what are you waiting for? Get into your local Cousin Subs today or go to CousinSubs.com. After all, it's here for a limited time. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, that is Cousin Subs.
The Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, in for Bill. Just talked to Mike Tenier, the NFL lead writer for Bleacher Report. And I tell you, Tenier is in tune with what a lot of folks are saying, the calls that we've gotten, the tweets that we've gotten here on the show, the backlash to the NFL and that Clay Matthews call, and the rules and the interpretations and the fact the NFL will now be using that Clay Matthews play as a how not to for officials around the league is something that they should flag as a penalty. That's pretty incredible, and everybody has weighed in on this, not just the Mike Teniers of the world and not just the local fans here in Wisconsin. This is a nationwide issue, and what do you know? We got a former Packers quarterback, a legend, Brett Favre, who weighed in as well on this Clay Matthews hit.
I saw a textbook hit. It wasn't late. I saw nothing that, and, you know, and Clay's had a history of those type of plays. This one was textbook. And if you're going to use it as a teaching video, you teach that this is the way we expect you to tackle. And that's the way I saw it. That's neither being a Clay Matthews or Packer fan or a Minnesota Viking fan or hater. That was a bad call. And to me, why not be able to review that?
Then there may be the key to this whole thing, the ability to have someone somewhere review it. And maybe that someone somewhere is one person, which means this. Instead of dealing with the officials and the interpretation of the crew that is working your game in Green Bay, as opposed to the crew working this game in San Diego and this game in Tampa Bay and New England, maybe you have one person. Maybe it's the version of MLB's replay office, where it's one person who is... Someone said this to me in the last day or two, that it's a Mike Pereira type of person, right? Someone who is an expert on this, who can look at them, and it's just thrown to them to review. You know, you just say, okay, you need to look at this and see where this falls into play, because consistency is going to be absolutely key. If you're making extreme shifts in rules like this and you don't do it consistently, you are going to drive people nuts. You're going to drive Joe nuts. And you don't want to drive Joe nuts, okay?
You do not.
You do not want to do that. But you drive half of Wisconsin nuts, too. I mean, what if it comes up as a play that results in a loss? I'm not trying to run out the next 14 games of the year, but if it's a tie and a loss on two calls like that, and that's the difference in a playoff seeding or the difference in making it, and that's what the season is, Joe?
Favre took a lot of hits in his day. He would know what an egregious hit is on a quarterback. And speak the truth, Brett, because a lot of people agree with you right now. This is just bogus. I can't believe the NFL is going this far.
Going to be an interesting next 14 weeks there, an interesting next hour as well. Brian Anderson, Brewers play-by-play TV voice, is going to join us. We're going to have some fun. He, San Antonio guy. We'll talk about that too. Coming up on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.